Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes for the March 21st meeting?
I will make a motion to approve the minutes.
And I will second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second for approval of March 22 minutes. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries. All right. Jennifer.
All right, going to report the March financial information for the Water and Sewer Department. The Water Department, for the month of March, revenue is up 11.24% from last March, and the water consumption was up 1.39%, so pretty neck and neck with consumption versus last year. The Water Department also reported a profit of $185,000 for the month, and this was compared to a profit last March of $70,000. The overall revenues increased $161,000, and the expenses increased $47,000. Fiscal year-to-date collection of access and impact fee revenue is $759,000, which is less than the prior year, but ahead of fiscal year 20. Year-to-date profit is more than the prior year and ahead of budget. For the sewer department, billed revenue was also up. It was up 15.89%, and sewer consumption was up 5.21%. So a little bit of a greater increase there. Sewer department, we had a profit of $418,000. Last year, that profit was $259,000. The difference there is due to, again, an increase in revenues of $259,000, but also an increase in expenses of $100,000. Year-to-date profit is less than the prior year, but ahead of budget. In fiscal year, access and impact fees is same story as in water. They are behind the prior year, but ahead of fiscal year 20. We're at $1,416,000. Lost water, still doing a great job there. Brent and Johnny and the team on finding water breaks. The lost water, we had 11% for the month of March, 9% for the calendar year, which is still trending very well, and 11% for the last 12 months. Our restricted and unrestricted reserves in total are $45.5 million. That's increased in water about $2.7 million and $535,000 in sewer. Sewer, we've had some more significant capital projects, train 2 rehab, and phase 1 of the solids. So it's still nice to see that increase there. Just a quick update on the office operations. Possibly in June, you'll be seeing our new software financials. We plan to be going live on the financials, which is general ledger, bank reconciliation, and accounts payable on 5/31. So I expect to show you the new format in June. We'll do the remaining modules, such as utility billing, personnel, fixed assets, later in the year. Utility billing, we're looking at September. We're going to do a mock go live before that happens and test that process thoroughly before we go live.
Are you running a parallel right now on part of it?
We have a test system in production and they're reconciling. We're not necessarily fully operating on two. So we're going in and we're doing the training. I think on the financials right now, we're just in the core configuration component. But after we get that done, then they're going to release that for live view is what I understand.
Okay.
They assure me they've done this millions of times. Of course, I'm nervous because we've had the same software for longer than I've been here. But Tyler seems to be educated on this process. They're a publicly traded company. They've done this before. So we have to do our due diligence, check the systems, test as we see fit, and move forward as we can. Because our IT department would like to retire. Jordan, the creator of the software, would like to retire. And so this is our step to getting him towards retirement. Just to look at the annual year-to-date income versus last year for the water department, I mentioned that we were above the ahead of the prior year, and we are ahead of budget. In the sewer, this is where we are behind the prior year, but we are still ahead of our budgeted amount. That's all I had for you, unless you have any other questions.
Looks good.
Thank you. Okay, so engineering reports. Aaron?
we all got stuck with me again this month. Ryan is, well, we've only got one of him, so he's out there running. How far down did you go, Jennifer?
I was trying to help.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah.
I need to go home. Well, we did, if you remember last month, we had quite a few large subdivisions coming through plan review, so we got those knocked out. So this month, you can see our number significantly higher on our civil plan review at 33. We've been doing pretty good. The list is down to where it needs to be, and we're doing really well there. As far as construction going on, our 2021 water line replacements, we've got a few parts we're waiting on, and just cleaning up at this point in time, waiting on samples to come back. Our water tower repaint, it's well underway. It's a good crew that's been doing excellent work. Let's see. Pleasant Grove Road, we've made it underneath Highway 112, so we're on the west side there finishing up. J.B. Hunt Drive, they're kind of watching the weather. There's Blossom Way Creek, it gets wet. And so they're looking for some dry time before they try to go across with the water line. And then, of course, the overpasses, they're getting started on the uptown side and still waiting on the relocates for Oak Street. Our projects and design acquisition stuff with the city, those haven't changed much. They're slowly but surely moving forward, but it's a pretty steady process. You can see kind of our outlook here. We will be bringing you the sewer maintenance contract that came in. So that'll be later here. If you've got any questions you'd like to delve in specifically, I'd be more than happy.
Yeah, I happened to drive by the water tower the other day, and there was like a batch plant or something out there. What is that? Where they're repainting?
So I know that they're doing the sandblasting, and they actually reuse their shot. So if you go out there, they've got a concrete slab. I mean, obviously it's very thin, but it's a concrete slab underneath there. So all the shot that they shoot to actually knock the paint off and bring it down to bare metal, they're actually taking that back, reusing it. It has to be filtered and, you know, pull all the paint out of it, make sure that the shot is still good to be used, because as you use it, it slowly rounds. And you don't want round pieces, you like angular pieces. But.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, I dropped by there too. Looks pretty cool. I mean, I like that. I know. I wouldn't want to be the person to have to stand on top to put those things through.
A little bit out of order this week. I was at a conference, and I'd like to brag on my assistant plant manager, David. He put this together for me, so it's always good to have capable people to help you out while you're gone. So a little bit out of order. The biggest thing here, that's the biggest news that's on here, is Tyson's and Rogers had an equipment failure on their pretreatment side. It kind of overlaps from one month to the next, so they've got a little bit of an upcharge on their surcharge on this one. They'll probably have a violation next month, and probably a much larger surcharge. Other than that, everything's going pretty well. They have plans to replace all the aeration equipment and the electrical system that supports it. But in the meantime, they're basically discharging in violation. So our plant has the treatment capacity to handle it. It doesn't affect the fluid capacity, which is where we're actually struggling right now. Here's our DMR numbers that are of interest. Everything is working fairly well out there. No issues on the treatment side for the month of March, and we're doing well into April as well. I don't know. That was sure I shouldn't have been in there. That's how I calculate my numbers for the significant events behind the scenes usually. Our fog pretreatment summary, Amber's doing a great job keeping track of who's being pumped, who's not, and doing a good job of letting our developers know when they can save money. For instance, one guy, these people here overbought on their grease interceptor. That GI is grease interceptor. I probably would have had her type that out for you, but that's kind of the service level that Amber goes to for our developers, and also you can see she does a good job monitoring discharges and stuff like that, so she does a good job on both sides. Train 2 is still functioning on automation to wrap up. Construction is underway on Train 1. Give you a little bit of update. The only thing that may inhibit in this is Brian's call on significant completion on our refurbishment out there is we're waiting on pumps. We kind of did some shuffling so we could move the project forward without having to wait. We moved one pump from a currently installed position over to the other train. We're waiting on four pumps to show up. They were supposed to have been here in October. The company that manufactures them built a new facility and put our stuff on the back burner. It's a very long story, but they still haven't showed up, and they're a pretty significant portion of the job. So that being said, we can operate as we are right now, and we likely will end up operating where we are right now. But it's up to Brian whether he allows substantial completion on that. That'll be his call. Solids pump had to be replaced, we are working on a better solution. When we have off-spec material, what we do right now is send that to a bagging operation. And what we've been doing in the past is taking that material and pushing it back through with our solids cake out of our centrifuges. That material is very abrasive, and our solids handling pumps have been not lasting very long for that. Those solids handling pumps are $16,000 every time one of them bites the dust. So, and it costs us a day and a half at a minimum of downtime, which is also pretty hard on my crew. So we are working with one of our local fabricators on a different solution for that. So far, the price has been high on it, and we're trying to get that down a little bit to resolve that issue. But at $16,000 for a pump, it doesn't take long to justify that. I expect we'll still be using the existing solids handling system for another couple of years. So if we continued the way we're going, that's probably six pump changes over the next 2 years. So at the current rate. So we need a solution. We just gotta find a more cost effective one so far. So compactor, the Headworks building is back online and working properly. The caveat to that is it's not really repaired properly. Supply chain issues had the actual parts we needed more than a year out. We have them ordered, we patched them together at the machine shop, replaced flights on a cast auger, and we did the best we could to put some machined auger pieces in there to replace what was broken, and stuck it back together. We could not separate it from the gearbox without potentially tearing up the gearbox and being a year out for a replacement. So we kind of patched it back together until we could get some actual parts. I don't like doing that, but that was the right call for the times. But it is working. Filter 1 and has been working well, but really that's the only filter that I can say that about. They've been one or the other of them has been down for a couple of 3 months now. We've called the technician from the manufacturer in. He got here this afternoon, and he's going to go through them with the fine tooth comb, figure out what's going on with them, and give our maintenance guys a proper training on how to maintain those things and what to look for. So that's the work we're doing out there. Overall, we treated 313 million gallons in March. If we were to treat our standard, that's 264 million. So we had about approximately 49 million gallons from INI. We had 2.4 inches of rain over five events versus 3.74 for the historical norm February. And that covers the end of my presentation. If you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to field them.
Good job.
Thanks.
Thanks, Todd. Okay, IT report, Janae.
So I didn't want to put a whole lot of this in writing because if you've been watching 60 Minutes and the morning shows, you've noticed how cybersecurity for the U.S.'s critical infrastructure is in a unique position right now. So I thought I would just tell you what we've been up to, just very high level, and if you have questions, stop me and let me know. I might get someone who knows what I'm talking about to explain it. So as you guys know, we have an IT team of four individuals. We have Jordan, who you guys know is our programmer, Debbie, who helps with setting up and user side and ordering of equipment, Jerry, who is, he flexes between programming and also our networking side. And then Mario, who's our most recent hire, is pretty much strictly networking. However, we're doing a lot of cross-training. The hardest part is on the programming side, which is why we're looking at moving to Tyler Technologies for our front office, which will be all of our CSR information, so the customer-facing information, GL, and it'll interface with our meter reading. We're in the throes of that. Jennifer's spearheading that. I'm working on our field side with these gentlemen on moving over to CityWorks, which is the gold standard. Actually, they say they're the platinum standard. PLL, which is permitting and licensing, which we will be doing in conjunction with the city. So instead of doing paper licensing or permitting, it will all be done online. We'll be able to sync with them instead of using what we used to call shoe leather to take stuff back and forth. It also, for us, our primary interest is on the asset management side, which will help us understand the criticality of failure, probability of failure of our pipes, as well as maintaining a good coordinate of all of our assets that are in the ground. And then we will add to that storeroom, which will be an inventory system. So we're trying ultimately to make these two softwares speak so that Jennifer can understand and our engineering and field guys can understand, and Todd, understand how the budgeting works for capital budgeting and keep better track of it. We're moving generations with these softwares. So it's a lot of heavy lifting, a lot of stress, but we have excellent employees who are really embracing the change so far. So if there's a mutiny and I'm not here, check the plank and, and walk. But I'm really excited about what we're doing, and it's thanks to you guys for allowing that. On the networking side, I know that we showed you kind of a spaghetti map of how our network looks and what we wanted to get to. We have industrial controls, which at GLAD, I know you guys used a whole lot to do automation with your machinery. Well, we do those on our side to maintain our pump levels, know what's going on at lift stations, water towers, all the machinery out of the plant. So we're not actually having to be out there physically turning valves and measuring. We can do it from the comfort of our phone or wherever we are. We needed to ensure, that's one of the biggest worries that the United States has right now with our critical infrastructure. Those have not been as secure as they needed to be because people thought, what are they gonna do? Turn a pump off? You want to go turn it back on? Well, they can completely kill all of your programmable logic, your PLCs, which means a whole lot of money if those are taken over and completely wiped. And it also means we're working 24/7 around the clock doing manual stuff. We don't want that to happen. We also don't want anyone to get into our system and introduce anything into the system that could cause harm. So, or overflows and kill a whole bunch of fish in a creek. So we've taken our SCADA system, which is all of those PLCs and remote operations, into its own network and segregated it from the office. So all of our information now goes through a separate firewall in order to make sure that we're getting added levels of security. No wall is impenetrable, so I don't want you to think, oh, we're great. I just want you to know that we're very aware of what's going on and trying to take steps. Jerry has been extremely instrumental in this and helpful and worked alongside CISA, which is CISA, and it's a part of Homeland Security. They're the people that are the talking heads right now on 60 Minutes and CISA Sunday morning talking about infrastructure cybersecurity. So we've worked with them. We're on alerts. And a lot of the things that they've recommended over the past couple of weeks are we've either taken action to implement those or they were already on our radar. So we're working hard. We're trying to get as much done without spending a whole lot of money. But the money that we have spent, we do have things that were delivered last week too. So we will have additional firewalls put into place and we have two new servers. We will be utilizing our third party that you guys have allowed us to partnership with called Comsys. We'll leverage their capability in order to spin up the servers and the firewalls to get them into place even faster. So are there any questions, comments, concerns?
I'm glad we're working on it.
Yeah.
We'll keep you updated.
I can't believe something worse hasn't happened to us before. We've been pretty lucky, huh?
We have been lucky. We have been very lucky. And Brent was standing in the doorway of Jerry and Mario's office, and Mario said, well, at 10:38 this morning, was Thursday or Friday, we had someone who got into SCADA controls. And so Mario ran downstairs to Mark's office and said, hey, are any of you guys dealing with, you know, XYZ location? And so he was able to kill it. Now, it could have been nothing nefarious. It could have been a bug or a glitch in the system, but it could have been someone in testing to see what they could do. Had we not segregated the network, we would not have seen that. So we're lucky. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but I do lose sleep at night because we're talking about all that we do on the field side would be affected by this. So. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Probably some 16-year-old kid out there.
Hey. First up on the new business is bid results for property insurance tonight.
Hi.
Might as well this
day. Long time no see. So we did our annual bid for property insurance. We only had one respondent yet again, which was the Rogers Insurance. Mm-hmm. The premium went up considerably, but it was locked in for 3 years. It only went up because we've reassessed the value of our property. Property values have increased. We also had assets and property that we were not accounting for. So with the increase of total property, we went from $106 million to $119.5 million in property value, which took our premium from $56,606, and that number did include, oh, I need to scroll. We need IT here, I think. So the previous amount did include the earthquake insurance. Our new amount is $81,424. If we go with the $10,000 deductible, which is what we've typically done, that is up to you guys to decide. And then we have been adding the additional earthquake, the optional earthquake coverage.
So remind me, the reason this is always single bidder year after year? Is this just too much headache for somebody to underwrite?
Yes and no. So Ferris Insurance came back and said we would need additional information. Here is a spreadsheet that we would like to look at going forward. So I have that. I'm going to start populating it. I think it will help us with all of getting additional bids. Cincinnati, who is writing this coverage, is incredibly competitive. Jennifer and I, a few years ago, spoke to the Municipal League, and they couldn't even touch it. And Municipal League often underwrites for municipalities. We've had a couple of claims, very, very minor. We had some theft in the back. Somebody broke in and took stuff out of trucks. And so we did have a claim, but it has not affected our rating or our deductible.
Seems like most of our claims used to be lightning related. Is that still the case?
Well, we've taken measures to try to help mitigate lightning damage. However, we have lightning.
If I'm okay.
Yes, please.
We haven't had a lightning strike in probably at least a year and a half. We put lightning suppressors on all of our systems going in and coming out. So, and we went to some fiber optic to mitigate some of the lightning strikes and stuff. So, we haven't had any lightning for quite a long time, but it's diminished a lot.
Hey, nice
good.
Work.
Good. Nice work. Yeah. Yeah.
So have we've had enough. I mean, I don't know what yearly we're running. Is it you feel that we're on the $25,000 deductible, the premium difference?
Jennifer, all the
first makes sense.
I can speak on historically, we haven't had a claim more than $20,000. That's not going to say that something that happened. So you just went rather with your risk and your chance. Do you want to pay the extra $10,000 for a potential $5,000 shaving? Is how I would look at it. So you would save the $5,000 if you want to join. So it's not my decision to make, but that's how I would look at it.
I have some input as well. Okay. To Mark's point, we looked at our lightning damage that we were turning in at the plant, and I had Sean go in another level of lightning protection to make sure that we were under our $10,000. That deductible affects what we do. So if we go to a $25,000, we're covering everything. We would probably spend additional capital to make sure that our lightning damage was even less, so that we're not, just to protect ourselves as opposed to right now. In other words, that affects our decision making on how much lightning protection.
So we'd probably spend more upgrading than what we're saving.
Certainly, because the lower level you get to protecting components, the larger that net is. So if I'm protecting to a level of 10,000, I have about 16 PLCs. I can control those. If you start making it where I'm all I can't go over 10,000, then I need to protect, maybe some different sensors.
Start
with my more expensive sensors as well.
Very good.
So what we need from you is, we recommend the $10,000 deductible, but we need you guys to let us know.
I'll make a motion that we keep the $10,000 deductible.
I'll second.
We have a motion and second to keep the $10,000 deductible. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. Okay, motion carries.
And is that to include also the earthquake, optional earthquake insurance?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that didn't include that, did it?
Okay. Robert?
Mr. Chairman, if the motion should include the approval of the bid as well, in addition to the deductibles and the earthquake coverage.
Okay, I'll change that to keep the $10,000 deductible and at the amount of $81,424 plus the $818 for the additional earthquake coverage.
I'll second.
Okay, so a motion and a second for the keeping the $10,000 deductible, including the earthquake limit, the earthquake addition on that. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay?
Okay.
I'm still up. Okay. This is National Health Care. This is, was delivered this afternoon. We are looking at, as you guys know, we had talked to you about doing an expansion and redoing the back field area, but it became cost prohibitive as the cost increased substantially. What we're needing to do, our field guys are back here in a couple of metal buildings that have some pretty severe issues, and it's not worth rehabbing those buildings. So it was suggested in one of our supervisors' meetings, we have a training center that's next door that's really nice, doesn't leak, has good heat and air, has clean bathrooms and a kitchenette. I mean, what more could you want? So we're going to move our field guys over into that building. And in order to do that, we need some furniture in order to fit. So Johnny and I started looking at bids on office furniture, which expanded from not just the field area where we will add four cubicles, a couple of nice task tables where the guys could eat as well as do any work that they needed to, but to also redo our engineering area, which has hand-me-down cubicles that don't match, and create an IT area where we can get all of our IT professionals together. If you've not walked through the facility, I don't know if you've been through yet.
It's been a while.
Okay. If you've not walked through recently, I'd be more than happy to show you what we're looking at. But what we would like to ask you for, and there's nothing up here because this all came in this afternoon, is to get approval. We're looking at individuals who are on state contract, so we're getting good deals, but we'd like to have approval to spend about $125,000 on creating a new workspace over in the field, or the training center for the field, a new engineering office setup, new IT setup, and then this would become a flex training area. This room is used once a month. It's prime real estate. Johnny would be losing his training facility. He teaches a whole lot of water and wastewater classes for the state. So we would buy task tables that would come in here that we could move around, and he'd teach class in here when we're not having commission. So that is our request. The dais may end up going, it may not. If it does, that $125,000 would also cover getting new carpet in here, because I'm pretty certain this is attached to the floor without carpeting. So
the bottom picture is this room?
The bottom picture would be this room. And okay. These are just renderings based upon what we told them our layout would need to look like. There are a couple options, and I can give you blueprints if you guys want to look at that.
So this is in lieu of building the new stuff that
we're saving $8 million here,
yeah.
Basically, right?
Really?
Yes, and these will be assets that can be moved and reused. They're cubicles that can be used in this.
Got a question for Jennifer. Will the budget support it?
We're working on the budget now, and we can figure that in request.
We're not building a $9 million
when
building.
When would the money be spent?
What
did you plan to have the...
So the reason we squeezed this in, I don't know if you guys have heard about price increases that are going on. There's been an inordinate amount of price increases on office furniture as well as delays. They guarantee the price until May 1. We do have money that I set aside for our software conversions as capital that we're not using this year. Now it is coded in a different area. I don't know how it works, but there is money out there.
Well, I applaud you for pushing that construction down the road a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. We do have a motion and a second to purchase office furniture for the training center. All in favor, say aye.
Mr. Chairman, is there an amount on that motion? This will need to reflect the amount.
As presented, I think you said
$125,000. Okay. So motion second to purchase office furniture for the training center at $125,000. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
What's going to happen to the two buildings back there that are not usable?
Metal.
Dump trucks and that stuff.
This is our annual red flag policy report, which is required per FTC regulation to identify theft prevention in our program. There's five bullet points there, what we are required to report. We report on the effectiveness of the policies and procedures of the utility addressing the risk of identity theft related to establishing and ending accounts or access to those accounts. Report on software, credit card process, server and server provider arrangements. Report on any incidences of identity theft or suspected identity theft involving utility accounts and utilities initial response. Report on the changes or proposed changes in the methods of identifying and preventing identity theft, and then recommendations for changes and those modifications to the utilities program. Pretty standard, no incidences of identity theft for item B. The policies were not, nothing was flagged. The one part we are seeing an increase in is item C. We had 6 incidences of unauthorized credit card use, and that was through our third-party payment provider. They notified us, the charges were reversed, and we put a freeze on the accounts for a selected period of time. I think that's something that will be ongoing as times change. But as far as I know, and communication is great, we're quick to remedy it and contact the customers and hopefully prevent to our extent what we can. But otherwise, no other changes this year. We made some changes last year, which was redacting all of the last 4, the Social Security number, and some other items. Those are still in effect. So I think we need your approval to approve the annual red flag policy report for as presented.
Okay, I make a motion that we approve the annual red flag report as submitted.
I'll second.
Okay. So we do have a motion and second for the red flag report. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Okay, let's go through.
All right, and then the next item is a resolution. We would like to revise our customer service agreement and to let you know what that looks like. This is our customer service agreement that all customers as of January 1st, 2020 must complete in order to have service established. This serves as a written contract between Rogers Water and the customer. We are continually reviewing our processes to see what we can approve, how we can prevent evasion of payment, you know, questions as they come up have caused revision. And so the items that we would like to revise the customer service agreement, but the items in yellow are what specifically we are adding or changing. The first one refers to evasion of payment. One of our CSRs asked a very good question about transferring balances for Act 769, which is allows us to collect another utilities bills and vice versa. We kind of team up. If they've left us with a bill, we can make them pay. They can make them pay our bill before they'll establish service with Bentonville. So the wording here just reflects if we know a known tenant is attempting to evade payment, you know, 2 people living at the address, someone's trying to get in their name, we know we have the right to transfer the balance, and the customer understands that. We wouldn't do that flippantly just because we would do that if we had good reason, you know, something on a lease with a person's name on it or something like that. Also, the second item is de facto customers. We have actually previously approved resolution number 2127. This is just incorporating that into the customer service agreement itself, but it's basically saying an adult person who's been living in the same house, who's not on the account, but that account holder has died, or there's been a divorce. So a married couple, the husband's on the account for 30 years, the husband passes away and the wife would not have to pay the new customer fees of $25 and $30. So that's just recognizing with death or divorce them as an existing customer from a new customer fee standpoint. And we could transfer that account to their name.
Very good. I'll make a motion to approve resolution 22, something rather.
2210.
2210.
Yes, sir.
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second for resolution 2210, adopting a revised customer service agreement form for the Rogers Water Utilities and for other purposes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. So this is the bid opening that we had this last month. This is for our sewer maintenance contract. We've got a lot of sewer line out there, so we're trying to take care of it all. I hope you got this in advance if you want to look at individual stuff, and I'd be more than happy to, you know, hover over anything specifically, but there are quite a few items in here. I guess the big numbers here are our totals. That is a pretty good number there. Our estimate was a little bit lower than what the bids came in, but we did some modifications to a contract that was bid out of St. Louis, I want to say? Joplin. And that was opened up at the very start of January of 21. So we've had about 25% increase. So looking at that, our actual estimate would have been about 4.8. We only had Goodwin bid on this project. We did discuss with them. They are happy doing it. I know that our budget for this was about $3 million, and they are good. It's on a unit price, so we let them know that, you know, our budget is what we're going to be able to do. If we do have any more funds, I guess we can try to allot them over to this, but they are aware that we are restricted to a budget as well. But we do recommend accepting the bid with Goodwin and Goodwin.
Is this something that we've done in the past? Or this new? We maintained it previously?
No, sir.
No. It's stuff that's never been done?
This is in this city.
I'm sorry, this is something to help supercharge, add a little more horsepower to our resources and get us to where we're a little more caught up. And we can look at that city works and get some better risk assessments and better allocate that capital to our assets. But this is something to get us, again, just really to leverage it up for as long as we need it, without throwing a lot more people on staff and seeing where we can get. And it's going to free us up. They're going to be doing things, and you know, we don't need to buy another back car to get caught up. We can use theirs, utilize theirs, and so on. So it's not a forever, although Van Buren uses these folks.
Van Buren's been using Goodwin and Goodwin for 3 years now, doing a very functionally the same thing.
I don't intend it's not my intention in any way to keep that for an indefinite period of time. To use that to get us back to where we
are.
Okay.
So you're saying that our budget has $3 million.
Yes, ma'am.
And their bid is $5.4 million. So we're telling them they have to stay within the $3 million?
Yes, ma'am. Well, we give them the task orders that we would like done.
Okay.
So it's basically what we want done. We also have an emergency repair clause in there. So there's a multiplier on what it actually costs. So if we have an emergency pop up, we can have them.
So what they don't do, then you would take care of. And that's going to require more people.
You already said what you're prioritizing out of that $5.4 million?
I do believe we have quite a few items that are on the list. I know that manholes and some point repairs were the initial knee-jerk. There was a sewer line over around Bands that needs to be repaired.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the first flyover.
So I see a lot of CCTV on there. Is that probably what you're going to do to isolate what you need?
Yes, sir. There'll be a lot of cleaning, some cutting of roots, some getting some camera logs, and then probably finding more point repairs that we need to get done.
So this is a pay as you go.
Yes, sir.
And it'll cross, obviously it's going to cross years.
It is a 1 year contract.
So 1 year contract?
Yes, sir.
So depending on when it starts, it crossed this year into next year.
Okay. that I think a small amount would possibly affect this year, but we're largely under a capital for this year, so I don't see it affecting our reserves currently. We put $3 million, we're putting $3 million in this upcoming budget because we have other capital items. Well, history has shown we don't always complete all the capital items requests for. So if capital slowed from our expectations, then we would have the opportunity to bump that up from the $3 million to the $4 million. We just don't want to go in and ask for a bond issue or something like that for an amount when sometimes things push, but we will constantly assess capital spending and act when we need.
But this piece is actually expense, right?
No, it's a capital item.
It is a capital item.
It's a refurbishment of the sewer line.
Okay.
So remind me again, how much does a vac con cost if you had to buy?
Right now, vac con would run us, if we bought something like we have, we priced it out, it was, the last one we got this time was $528,000. If you can get it,
right? Yeah. And then how many more people would you have to add, and what would that?
Well, it's just not the vac con. I mean, you'd have to add at least 2 to 3 people for the vac con. But then we're also behind on our foreign repairs and stuff because of the way the city's been growing. We haven't been able to to get out and do the sewer stuff. You know, we'll go fix something when it's an emergency that is going to cause somebody to have a backup into their home. But there's a lot of repairs out there that we haven't been able to do because of the staff and, you know, just the way we've been growing. And, you know, and I think Brent's making a great decision on us trying to do this instead of going out and hiring a bunch of people, because we talk about it all the time. We don't know how the economy's going to go and how we're going to, you know, if growth is going to slow down, we'll get to come in and start doing a little bit more work on our side instead of doing a lot of the water repairs and the new water services and stuff. That's what's taking up a lot of our field ops on the construction side's workload right now. So, you know, honestly, today we'd probably need to add 9 or 10 more people if we wanted to do what they're going to do for us, plus some new equipment, a backhoe, a couple of new backhoes, and stuff like that. So
basically, this will give you guys the relief you need for the next year, so that hopefully this supply chain and all that stuff will, hopefully it'll go away.
Yeah, and Jennifer brought up a great point that I missed. Thank you very much. We technically put together this CIP program, all these projects that a lot of them are city, we follow the city jobs because they're tearing up asphalt and curb together, and it makes sense for us to go in with value. When that doesn't happen, which is just about every single year you've been here, we leave money on the table, which is not a good thing. We're supposed to be putting that money into the system. This gives us this is an opportunity for us to put the rubber to the road, regardless of whether that city project goes or not. And that's what we need. And it's some of the smaller stuff. It's kind of a different philosophical change there, but we're going to give it a whirl. I think it's going to help us.
Make a motion to approve the Goodwin maintenance contract for $5,409,234.68 as presented.
Second.
So we have a motion and second to approve Goodwin, the sewer maintenance contract 2022 for the amount of $5,409,234.68. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries.
Do we need to have wording in that for up to the budget of $3 million? Or?
Well, I was complaining about it myself. In the motion it's said as presented, and it was presented that the engineer was going to work within the budget of $3,804,290.60. So I'm okay with the motion, but I think it's perfectly fine. I'd like to, make it a little more solid that the chair could reopen that item and have the motion presented again.
So I will redo The motion? So as presented, but also with the caveat for the $3 million, so it would fall within the budget. But it is the contract that's represented at $5,234.68, but capping it at the $3 million.
Second.
All right.
What he said.
We have a motion and second to approve the Goodwin maintenance contract for 2022 with the budget numbers on that at $3,854,298.60. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay?
I think that was supposed to be $3 million.
An engineering contract for Chestnut to Union.
It said $5 million.
He said up to the $3 million. It's up to $3 million. This is the customer service agreement again. Jennifer, you just missed it all. That would be me.
We have an amendment to a contract for, it is North Arkansas Street, so it runs from Chestnut up to Union Street, and the city has decided to kind of expand where they're covering with this due to some changes, constraints with the railroad and RDOT. They've kind of scrapped Easy Street, and in response to that, they are reworking 2nd and Union. No, I'm sorry. 2nd and Union. 8th and Union. No. 2nd and Union. I apologize. It's 2nd and Union. They're going to be putting a roundabout there to tie in with this project. Originally, this was going to be a separate contract, but that has changed since they will no longer be extending further to the west, but they're pulling that work into this contract. So we do have some additional water and sewer fees for the design work of that. RWU's portion is the $47,000. I don't have a mouse to highlight it on there, but we are. So there's quite a bit of water and sewer that's going to be adjusted there. So we're trying to get the engineering done. We're requesting an approval for paying for that design work.
I'd make a motion to approve Amendment 2.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve an engineering contract from Chestnut to Union. On Amendment 2, and you said it's
$47,000?
$47,000,
yes, sir.
At $47,000, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries. All right. That's all we have. We'll adjourn this meeting.
There we go.
You tongue twisters.
Yeah, gee, many.